Cozy TV.
The entire Christian gospel centers around self-preservation and fear. But how many people has fear truly saved? All the Billy Graham crusades and all the altar calls, either overtly or subtly, threaten people with a dire future, namely eternal torment, if they don't come to the altar and confess their sins. What I would like to see is a follow-up survey of all those people who came to the altar. Let's follow up with them a year later and see how many have legitimately loved Christ, the man Christ Jesus, who gave up his life for them. I would venture none, because if the foundation is wrong, then the entire building is built askew and it will crumble. I've actually seen Christian tracts and Christian church signs, I'm sure you have too, that say, "Where will you spend eternity?" The emphasis is self-preservation, because if you don't do things right, you might spend eternity with the devil in hell. And of course, the classic Christian message, "Turn or burn," relies upon, again, fear and self-preservation. This is left over from the Old Covenant, where there was a focus on self-preservation because of all the things you had to do to please a God who still presented himself as hard to placate, hard to satisfy. And we are so blessed to live in an administration where God's heart is being revealed, because we know that God did not delight in the blood of goats and lambs for the taking away of sin. The emphasis, even in the Old Covenant, which was not meant to work, is what are you going to do about your sin? Something remarkable has happened since then that is the most overlooked event, if you can believe this. It's the most overlooked event in human history, even in Aeonian history, and that is the Son of God on the cross. John 12:32 is, I believe, the biggest clue in the circumcision writings, the most compelling harbinger of Paul's gospel. Actually, I'm not saying it is Paul's gospel, but it was a suggestion of it, that the focus was going to be on the love of God as demonstrated via his own son on the cross. Two verses in John bring this out, John 12:32 and John 3:16. We all know John 3:16. Thus God loves the world. This is the concordant translation of John 3:16. The King James translation gives us a completely wrong idea. King James says, God so loved the world, as though it were a Hallmark Valentine's Day card. It says, I love you so much. But this is not a verse telling us of the amount of God's love, but the nature of his love. Thus, the Concordant version reads, thus God loves the world. In this way, by this demonstration, that he sent his only begotten Son. And that Son was nailed to a Roman stake. And from there he said, Father, forgive them, they know not what they do. In this, and this alone, the crucifixion of Christ, we see the love of God, and it is the beginning of being drawn to God and to Christ, rather than a raw human reaction to fear, to threat, and to a call of self-preservation. This is why our apostle says, I come among you knowing nothing except Christ Jesus and him crucified. Because this is what God was looking forward to from the very beginning. You say, well, why didn't Paul's gospel come first? I know, I asked myself that question many times. The only thing I can come up with is, and this is the answer really, is that God had to set the stage of his righteousness, of his inapproachability, apart from an intermediary, a go-between between God and humanity. And we know that that was his own Son, Christ Jesus. And now God has unburdened his heart. And still, the Christian religion is camped in the shadow of Mount Sinai, and they still rely upon threat, upon fear, and the ultimate goal is still self-preservation. Again, I say they're camped in the shadow of Mount Sinai because self-preservation was part of the circumcision gospel. You had to bring your sacrifices in the right manner, an unblemished sacrifice at the right time, in order to really preserve yourself. But God has done something new, but you wouldn't know it. The other verse in John is John 12:32. If I be lifted up from the earth, I will draw all men to myself. Lifted up from the earth, draw all men to myself. Draw them not by the specter of eternal punishment, not because of the human desire for self-preservation, but because of the singular act of love demonstrated by God in sending his Son to the cross. I actually like the Message here, Eugene Peterson's paraphrase. If I be lifted up from the earth, I will attract everyone to me and gather them around me. I will attract everyone to me and gather them around me. No hint of fear, no hint of threat, no hint of human self-preservation. It is attraction. Attraction to the Son of God on the cross, demonstrating the kind of love that God has for his creation. which is a verification of the verse we read from Romans last week, that the gospel, Romans chapter 1, the gospel concerns God's Son. All attention is now to be taken away from human self-preservation and toward that one on the cross. That is why all the power for salvation in Paul's gospel, and again, we really only see this in Paul's gospel, centers around the Son of God on the cross, demonstrating the love of God. And that's how we herald the truth. It's not how do I get to heaven. It's not how do I please God. It's not how can I escape a terrible fate. It's not where will I spend eternity. It's about Christ Jesus and Him crucified, and not simply the act, not simply the specter of an innocent man dying on a cross, but that this ultimate sacrifice of God's demonstrates the love of God. And it is love, the love of God, that now will attract, if we herald it first and forget the human aspect altogether. This is what brings people to God. But these days in the Christian religion, no one can wade through and get out of the message of fear and self-preservation. I'll end with this anecdote that I read in, I believe it was in Thomas Allen's book, Christ Triumphant, which you can order from the Concordant Publishing Concern. His analogy was, if a baby, if the son of a mother wanders off and crawls to the edge of a precipice, how does the mother bring the child back to her to save that child from death? The child doesn't know he's on the precipice of death. Does she race toward him? If she does that, she might startle the child and send him over the precipice. What does she do? She exposes a breast. And thus she draws the child toward herself. It's a dim analogy. But the truth behind it is attraction via love. In fact, the child is not even thinking of self-preservation. The child is drawn by comfort, by assurance, by the familiar sight of his mother. And there is a hint of self-preservation in that this is my sustenance. Our sustenance is the love of God. And it is seen when the Apostle John at the Last Supper rests his head against the breast of Christ. That is the ultimate evangel. It's the good news that God could finally unveil his heart and demonstrate his love to the world by offering up his only son. If this theme was not developed in the circumcision gospel. It was not meant to be developed in the circumcision gospel, but I tell you, I believe it was a harbinger of Paul. And it was left to Paul to explain to us what that cross meant for us. And it also explains to us why Paul says, I came among you knowing nothing except Christ Jesus and Him crucified.